is how you find the cash. And I'll go into more detail afterward because when we're done. But basically what we've done, we've got three courses. We've got an easy course back here, which is all flat, down the trail. We've got an intermediate course, which is still very easy, but it's this way. It's just a little longer, but it's easy and flat. And then we got a final, or a third one, which is across the road, and it's kind of down some hills and stuff like that. But they're all very easy. Everybody can do them all. But we've got some of these placed around there, just to kind of give you an idea how the GPS would work. Instead of finding a box in the woods, and we've got all kinds of samples up here you can look at here. Different size of that box, and different containers, things to use, things not to use, because they won't keep. Things here that you should take with you. Now, when you're first starting to cache, you know, you don't need walkie-talkies and lights and all that. After a while, you get out there and you want to spend the afternoon, you know, take bug spray in the summertime. If you're caching near dark, it may get dark. So, take a flashlight. Always carry spare batteries. Things like that. We've got some good maps here from Zero to Illinois. They're all topographical maps. These are very good to have when you get out of the city much. And then we got some items here that is prohibited. Scissors, matches, any kind of adult material, food, things like that. We do not want to put the badges because of the animals. If they're there, we find it, which they always do anyhow, apparently. You know, don't want to leave anything in there to convert. So then, you know, after that part, then we'll all go out and play in the woods as much as we want to.
Strider, Tim, and I talk about using cell phones for traffic control.
Something she saw on TV where they're looking at activating people's cell phones to be able to determine traffic flow. So that if you have your cell phone on, it can track where you are and how fast you're moving, and then it can look at that as a traffic pattern to see how well the traffic is flowing through the city. And of course people are saying, oh, that's invasion of privacy, but they're really just aggregating all the data. They're not taking your position. Like, they're not saying, John is stuck on I-44 on his way to downtown. Right. It's the sum of it all, and then they say, okay, in general, these people are flowing slow in this particular section of the highway.
How are you, Molly?
Spoiled.
Tim talks about his dog, Molly, and Strider talks about his dog, Sophie.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about bringing Sophie today, but Charlie was hanging around, too, so...
I wasn't going to bring her. But she hasn't been anywhere all week, but me getting that tooth pulled and everything going on, we just haven't done nothing. She
wasn't gonna let you out the door, huh?
She was just all excited. She's like, he's going bye bye, and I know it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so Charlie were just laying there like, we're not going our way.
Just I brought the water bottles in, and that was all it took. He's not going to work. He's got the water bottle.
I got it. I mean, if you can keep it straight in the middle if you're going through a field. But when you get in the woods, you got to think, well, gee, do I want to stay on the trail or take the shortcut?
As you can tell by the crunching leaves, we are now in the woods looking for waypoints and caches. Here is RGS talking to a couple of the students.
And a lot of times, the long way on the trail is the easiest way.
Well, and we got poison ivy and we got sticker bush.
Right. But, you know, as you get older, too, I always think about this. You know, hey, I can tell my wife, well, I'm going to go to so-and-so park.
Right. Yeah.
But you don't know where you are. You can get down there and have a heart attack or get bit by a snake.
Exactly.
We didn't do the first rule. We didn't mark where we started.
I didn't.
You didn't mark where you started from.
Yes, I did.
What is it? See, I know. I don't understand a compass either. I was not a Girl Scout type person.
Oh.
And I really don't like to walk. I have a bad left knee, so every step hurts.
Oh.
June, you know how many times you can just sit at home?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you get to the point that...
Exactly.
You could park in front of the TV for hours if you wanted to.
TiVo just makes it worse.
Well, we don't have that.
We don't either, but...
We don't even have digital cable. I refuse to pay for that box.
Oh, me too. We got cable, but not digital. Yeah.
Except when we start really...
Because you don't want to get burned out. That's another thing.
Yeah, but it's pretty bad when two in a day you don't get, you don't get anything and you can't find the stupid road. We could not figure out how to get to wherever it was. Look at all the people blogs and it said, tough time to find the road.
Ah.
So I'm going to download to you the Google Earth to my laptop.
Okay, yeah.
And I figure then you could see country roads.
Yeah, exactly.
Anywhere 173 feet away. That's really amazing.
Does that one also have the GPS receiver in it?
Here I talk with two students, one who has a PDA with a GPS receiver built in.
Yeah.
Okay, built in.
It'll tell you, like, on a road drive so far.
Oh, okay.
Arriving at destination.
Okay.
Left,
right.
The only thing is, it keeps telling you, like, even in here, it says drive 7 miles Thomas Road. That path actually has a road map.
It does.
Trail. It's telling you to drive down Allen's and Scenic Trail.
Wow.
So many miles.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't always believe what you read.
Right. Actually, on here, don't believe what you hear. If you look at it, it'll walk you right there usually.
Yeah.
But our problem is usually finding it once we get there. We know we're right on top of it. But digging around is a pain.
Well, what would numbers would this find be for you guys?
This?
How many have we done?
Oh, I've done about 15 or so.
Okay.
But I worked with this. I worked for a power. I worked for a software company. Made the mapping software for power companies. So the guys out there looking for down lines and stuff in the woods where the line.
Okay, are you familiar with the coordinates and waypoints and things like that?
I know the different coordinates.
Yeah.
And they'll make sure you're on the right one or you could be in the wrong state.
Like on cornfields and all kinds of places.
Five or six in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like a year and a half or so, but like I got this for work. And then we did none. Last Christmas, I guess, was when we took our nieces and nephews. We were over by Kansas City and we took them and they loved it. Came to town, we found a couple more.
Yeah.
And that's really all we really matched with it.
When you get real close like this, this is the time you start using your mojo and it's like, where would they hide one?
Right there. Hey, babe, here's your marker.
Well, I know the hint.
Then give me the clue.
I don't have a clue because these are today's in a fallen tree.
All right, I don't know where I am. I see it.
You see it already?
But over there, I'm down.
Oh, you didn't see it first.
In mine's just one. You'd be surprised. Sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot.
And the side of a hill, too.
Yes.
We'll cut off some satellites that are over that way.
Right.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Depends on what satellite you're using. That's why he said you have to be moving.
Right.
Okay.
A lot of times if you get in an area that's really confusing,
uh-huh.
Back off 50 feet, move around a little bit,
uh-huh.
And see where the arrow is.
Oh, you
right
got
now.
That good? Okay.
That's not actually too bad.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
But the idea is, like, if I was walking into this place, first place I might have looked would be right here.
Right there. Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the thought.
You start looking at places would be a good spot.
Yeah. And that's
but
the
that's kind of wide open.
Yeah.
I had one where it was a tree stump hollowed out, and I searched inside that tree stump for 20 minutes. And I finally got, what is this? And I looked up, and there's a birdhouse attached to a tree.
Yeah.
It's inside the birdhouse.
Birdhouse, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of like...
It's so easy to get fixed on, I know it's here, without looking around.
You like magnets.
I know, but I didn't see any.
Take some of that stuff you wanted.
I'm just going to...
There's magnets in there and buttons and stuff.
You can't be a cop.
We were going to make this the one for the kids and have some giveaway stuff in there, but it didn't show up, so...
That's not you.
St. Charles County.
That's not you. You got to send that to your brother?
No.
His brother's a cop in Orlando.
Oh. I was here last year for the training class. I went to the first one that somebody showed me to, and then I went out to buy a GPS.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I've never been back here since. Yeah.
Did you do that one at the picnic?
At the picnic, right. But I'd been there for like four times before that.
Yeah.
RGS, Pandy Andy, and I were talking about a cache that RGS has in one of the Crestwood Parks in the St. Louis area that many of us searched for during the summer picnic that we had it in 2005.
See, he's the one that tore it up.
Every time I was there, I kept saying, man, this is getting tore up.
Well, see, I even talked to the ranger. I said, you know, this is what's going to happen. He said, we don't care. He said, it's just a sinkhole. It's just stuff.
There's that one rotted log.
Yeah, that's...
People were tearing it to pieces.
Yeah. It's just a pile of sawdust.
I found a part of it that was loose, and I lifted it up. Did this a little bit, and I put it back. Next time I went back, the piece I had lifted up was over 10 feet over there. I thought, oh my God, ashes within 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making it too hard. I'm looking at that, and I couldn't find it. And I looked at it, 30 feet. What is 30? And I walked up to the pool, and the lazy river is 3.0 feet deep. I'm getting lifeguards. Is there a cache in there?
I remember that now. I remember you saying that, yeah.
Most caches, they tell you to stay away from water. somebody hid one where you got to use water to get it out.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
The cache that Pandy Andy is talking about is an RGS cache that he does require the use of water in order to retrieve the cache.
Under a bridge. It's a summer picnic.
Who says to stay away from water? I never read that.
Well, they say caches are waterproof containers.
Oh,
and everything.
Oh, that way, yeah.
You know, don't get them wet.
I'm going to probably have to archive that when it gets to be 20 degrees out, won't I?
It'll either that or so dry there'll be no water.
Yeah.
The hills.
Do you mind if I use some of your conversation for the podcast?
Use whatever you want.
Okay, cool.
You got to realize, even though I've been at this a year, in fact, it'll be a year next week because I came to the training class, but I've only had 112, 13, 14 finds now. It's not like you guys.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, though. You know.
But sometimes you want to pace yourself or you get burned out.
I think it was Rich that I emailed. You know, I just don't have the time to do geocaching between, you know, 10 hours a day at work and traveling back and forth.
Yeah,
and
I remember that, yeah.
And he says, work less, geocache more.
Or just retire.
As if that's easy. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I used to enter all my caches in by hand. Yeah. And then I started to get into the point where I'm doing 10, 20 a day. And I realized, boy, this other way is easy.
Yeah.
With a cable and a program.
But
and
I don't have the time to do all that. I think most of them done it one time is 12.
Saves you time.
I mean, it just takes a matter of seconds to get those in there.
Oh, but it's the fun of sitting down at the computer the night before and playing in your route. And I obviously plug them all into this map source. And I tell you,
I figured out with GSAT on how to do the ARC filter. Now, the secret is you go ahead and go into map source, create your route. Start here, end there, or if you're trying to force yourself on certain roads, you know, you make an intermediate point.
You do like little.
And when you get done, it draws your route.
Okay. All right.
You save that as an MPS file.
MPS,
which
gotcha.
Is the older version. You go into GSAC after you've run your pocket queries. You got all these coordinates. You go to ARC filter. You say input file. You input that MPS file, and there's your route, and it's all whatever your distance is.
Do you bring in your pocket query waypoints first?
Yeah.
And then you...
Yeah, so you
what's
got those
step?
In your database.
And then
you go to the filter.
ARC filter.
And then it says enter
MPS.
Enter file.
Okay.
And then you put your MPS file.
And it automatically filters it out.
Yeah,
better.
And however the highway or the route goes, there they all are.
And you also say how far away from the...
mile or half mile.
So it's not just like an arc, it could be a whole route.
Yeah.
Oh.
And apparently what MPS or MapSARS does, every time there's an intersection or a turn on the highway, it makes a waypoint.
You're on the wrong side. Everybody else is right.
That's not what this says. I'm sorry.
I wonder if she's got the wrong
heading.
Hello.
Hi.
I was here.
I'm walking and it says it's back that way.
Yeah, I still got about 300 more feet to go.
Mine says it's that way.
You're awful close. You're about 8 feet away.
Which waypoint is this?
It's hanging in a small tree. It says.
Is this the tag?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I have a magnetic personality and it's turning that spinner
That's
around.
That's got to be it.
Okay.
Good grief. Now, see, this must be a change they made because you can't just press this and get...
That's the old legend?
Yeah, that's the color one.
Oh.
But you can't just press this like we do and get waypoints.
You have to go to find waypoints.
Oh, okay. That sounds like the GS, too.
Oh, is that the way it is?
How'd find again.
You go to... Oh, here's waypoints right here.
Oh, you got to get to that menu.
Yeah,
though.
And now the next one is number 7.
Okay.
So then I say go to, and then it says off-road. Either follow the road or off the road.
Oh.
So now I'm off-road, and then there it is.
Okay.
But, or I can do, you know, this.
Do the compass, yeah.
Yeah. So it says 372 feet.
And that's
feet.
About what it is, yeah.
So we have to go 372 feet, but see? Oh, I'm not moving yet, so the arrow hasn't moved.
Now that should reverse
Okay,
itself.
I don't like that. Show it all the time. The right way.
That's why you had to spend the extra money and get the Vista.
No, I wasn't paying
Yeah, and I got the Vista with electronic compass and the barometric pressure and the altitude.
Well, see, how often do you need barometric pressure?
I don't, but I really wanted the electronic compass.
Okay.
Was
see,
perfect.
See, I didn't really understand the difference between them, and I was trying to read up on it.
I've had a couple of them where I can get in the area, and I am just all over the place. And I'll recalibrate the compass and stand in one spot and turn around twice.
That's
so
right,
it recalibrates, and then say, find it again, it'll lead me right to it. Because I've recalibrated right there.
Now, is this what you do at the next picnic? You show this movie and I'll laugh?
He'll put it on.
You laugh, you cry, whatever. No, I...
Look at these idiots.
The audio I put on the internet, and then I take the video and I make a little bit snippet so people can see what it's like to go to a 101 class. I don't sell it. It won't be on the news. I don't think.
GOSTL, St. Louis Geocachers Association.
Yeah.
And it'll be... There's pictures from the last Aga Cave campground a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And there's movies.
Movies, pictures.
But yeah, a lot of people put their pictures on, like, Shutterfly, which is a free site.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a link that just directs you to the Shutterfly. No, and then it says View Slideshow, and it changes every so many seconds to a new picture. Some people write descriptions in there. Others don't. So you can see names of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely, when you start doing this, you see the same names over and over.
There are certain famous people that we like. Oh, yes, the god of the...
Yeah,
and it's neat. After you've done a whole bunch of them and you hide your first one, sit back and watch the rush. The names that you always see have to be first to find.
Yeah.
It's a contest. They got to get there.
Yeah.
And then you'll see one found it, and then another one says, well, I was going to be first to find it. How come Strider walking there? How comes RGS? And while we're standing there talking, so-and-so came in from the backside.
They come like a casher.
Well,
what's it showing for distance?
See, 25 feet.
Yeah.
But now it's showing the right cut.
See, she wants it to be on zero, too.
I know.
I'm not alone.
Another thing he just told us for
Garmin. Get used to disappointment.
We started back in
so
July.
So, what's your accuracy? Probably 17 or 18.
About the second time out.
So,
right.
You're within 20.
I'm waiting until about October.
And if it says 14 feet
away,
but the
accuracy. I would go and I'd sit and let it reset and say, okay, so many feet that way. And we'd go however far over there. And we'd get three spots and I'd say, okay, this is where the lines cross. It's within 30 feet of that
well,
point.
Okay.
But I learned a map. For a company that's in mapping. So I triangulated and I said, okay, that's what I'm calling it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The white or the yellow? Deep yellow, I think, was last year.
This year is white, I think.
This year's white. Mm-hmm. If you find those, you register online to win a Jeep.
Wow.
And don't count on winning it.
Do you keep the bug or do you move it?
You move it.
You have to move it. Yeah. And then if the next person finds it, they get to log it. And, okay. Yeah.
Sometimes you take it home. Sometimes they have a requirement, like you got to put a photo of the Jeep doing something, you know, but then you take it home and you may keep it for a week and then put it in another.
What does that mean?
Oh, we need a quote to it.
Really?
Lancelot and I discuss the feature on his GPS receiver where he can cause it to beep when it gets close to the cache.
Mm-hmm. You get close to a certain number of feet.
Actually, it depends on how fast you're going, because if I'm driving the one, and if I get within like a third of a mile, it'll beep.
Really?
Even though you're not very close.
Okay, I'm flying in a jet.
Beep, I'm past it. Yeah, you've gone way past it.
Or you're within 10 miles. You're within 2 miles. You pass it.
Pass it, yeah. Go back 10 miles.
Geocache.
So did you just stumble upon a bunch of crazies out in the woods there?
This was pretty cool. We had somebody who was just hiking in the woods. He came from Indiana for a family event and stumbled upon us. Wondered what we were doing. As a result, Sarah, aka Crow's Feet 30, was explaining everything about geocaching.
I've come up here for a wedding this weekend. My niece is getting married this afternoon.
Cool.
And so we're staying down at the Holiday Inn down there at Six Flags. I'm looking for a park, I'm looking for some trails, because that's just what I do.
Right.
I love it. And so I came here, I'm going to go back and.
Yeah.
I'm either going to walk somewhere, I'm going to find out what these people are doing.
Well, you caught us in our prime.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I like, you know, there's some energy here, you know, and,
sure.
And interaction, and it's social, and
social.
It's cool. I like it.
I'm recording a podcast of the geocaching stuff, and I'm recording right now.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I get some of your comments, opinions?
Yeah. I live in Bloomington, Indiana, and I hike almost everywhere I go. I'm going to get out walking, hiking, doing something, because I just enjoy doing it. I came to Greenfelder here and saw you guys, and I'm going, well, first of all, I tell you, I had this meeting, I'm going, oh, strange. And then I saw this name, geocache, never heard of that before.
Right.
But then I'm a curious sort, so I just stuck my nose
in. Uh-huh.
And you guys were very friendly.
It's a fun game. We enjoy it.
Yeah.
and we don't take it too seriously, although there are a few who do.
Yeah, there would be, yeah.
You know, some groups around the country organize in order to help with a relationship with state parks, but I think our group, SLAGA, St. Louis Area Geocaches Association, formed because they had a ad hoc picnic, and people said, this is fun, let's keep doing this.
Right.
Yeah, so we're really a social club.
And you're good friends. And so, you know, you've made, and your friends that are like-minded, you have a common interest.
Even though we come from such diverse backgrounds.
Sure. We're all the same
exactly.
Everything from students to, I got a multimillionaire stockbroker that's in our hiking club, and developing some skills here, developing some interests, and meeting friends, and that's what life's about. You don't have to necessarily drive yourself to get one more.
Right, and there's some people who wait for that next cache to come out, and they're, like, Jim.
I mentioned Jim. Jim's geocaching name is Strider. Strider is one of those people who likes to be first to find. So when a new cache comes out, you're pretty sure Jim's going to be there very quickly.
Actually, what Jim has actually explained to me is the whole point of going out to find first to find is because you have a really good chance of running into other geocachers.
Okay.
That's the real reason why he likes first to find.
I gotcha.
He ends up meeting up with Rich or Didge or, or any of these guys, to be the first to find, although that's always good, but it's social aspect.
Right.
As much as, it's not more than anything else.
Welcoming to new people, that's a nice aspect.
Right. It's a family-oriented, it's
exactly.
A healthy thing to do. And
You're not drinking yourself silly.
On a multi, would they give you some visual as to, okay, on first part of the multi, you're looking for something.
There's a part of the cache page that's scrolled, or it's ciphered, where that you can decrypt. You can just click on it to decrypt it. They do that so that you don't immediately see them, and you can't read them. Some people don't like using the clues. They want to be able to just go out there and see if they can find it without help. And the clues are sometimes giveaways. And so on multi-caches, they'll say for waypoint 1, they'll say rock, waypoint 2, tree, to give you a little information about where it might be hidden or something like that, but not enough to really give it away most of the time.
So you get into puzzle caches where you got to think about it and do some math ahead of time even before you leave the house.
Yeah, and like Mike Brawny Bear just put one out that used Egyptian hieroglyphs.
Oh, that's...
And you had to find a hieroglyph page and then decipher the hieroglyphs into English.
Yeah.
And then it used the Egyptian way of using fractions. And it's basically the Eye of Horus, and it's how much of the Eye of Horus is laid out on that hieroglyph. It tells you the fractions, and then you had to take those fractions, add them together, and get the decimal equivalent of that fraction, which would give you your last three, So people come up with all kinds of fun things.
That is so crazy. GOCACHING?
Yeah.
Okay, without the E. Cash.
GEOCACHING.
Yeah, okay. Geocaching.
Yep, .com. Yes.
Okay.
Or GEOSTL, which is our local one.
okay,
which is in the process of being changed.
I think I better run.
Oh, okay. Okay. Nice having you along.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. I'm seeing you online.
You'll hear some of yourself on the podcast.
Oh.
Okay. Sure. Yep.
Okay.
Konopacki is my last name. That part, and then my first initial, my first name, and middle initial, and my middle name. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but
more sense than I thought.
That's what I started with, and I thought, I should have come up with another one, but I've already logged like hundreds of these things. And
you can change your caching name without losing your stats.
Unfortunately, I signed my logs Konopacki W.
Right.
So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I saw that.
That's true.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
You don't need a GPS. I tell you right where it is. There's two foul ball poles, and the idea is, and there's a cache in each one, and the idea is to pick the right one. It's a psychological...
It's in one or the other, right?
It's actually a cache in both of them.
Oh.
But if you go to the one, it tells you this is the wrong one.
Okay.
There are hints on the cache that tells you you're supposed to pick the right one.
You have to...
Which is the right one. And I've been keeping track.
Do you have to fess up if you found the wrong one?
I asked people to.
Okay.
And so far I've got like 19 yes, they got the right one, and 16 no, they got the wrong one first.
I wonder how many of the 19 lied. Maybe just a couple, not a whole lot.
The best one I liked was a family of man and wife and two daughters, a teenage daughter, and the one looked like she was 6 or 7. They put photos in there. Mom, the dad, and the older daughter picked the wrong pole. And the little girl got the right. And they got photos by the Ohlendorf sign. Mom and dad are like this, and the little girl's like this.
Oh, okay.
I loved it. But yeah, you don't need a GPS to do that. Figuring out a container to go inside those poles.
Oh, okay.
Because a 35mm film canister will not fit.
Too big?
It's too big. And I finally ended up over at Michael's crafts place. And they've got these tubes of glitter for a buck. And it's got a screw cap type cap on it with a hook that I could hook a little cable to and drop them down inside the pole on the cable. Well, I bought one of the tubes of glitter, emptied it all out, took it home, put paper in it, and put it under the kitchen sink, you know, in the water.
Oh, to test it out.
And I waited for 15 minutes or so and pulled it out and dried the ball, and I said, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to work. And then I had it in there for maybe a week. And some guy emailed, he says, I know I had the cap on tight, and I put it back in the pole, and I heard it go ding 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 ding.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
He says, it's at the bottom of the pole. It's fine. I went out the next day and bought another one.
Supposedly that wasn't far from where the kid got stung by yellow jackets and had to be taken to the hospital.
I know where the kid got stung.
During the summer picnic of 2005, there was a cache located not too far from where somebody who was not a geocacher was stung many times by yellow jackets, and this is what we were talking about.
At the end of that parking lot, there was a trail, and he was just in that trail, 50 feet, and he got nailed.
And I never saw any of that yellow tape, supposedly, that the police put up.
You had to be up by the back of that center.
I never heard, you know, what happened to him or not, but people saying it was pretty serious.
Well, he, from what I heard, he got hit like 12, 15 times. And he was swelling up.
Yeah.
Like this.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for coming by. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
I did.
Good.
Years ago, they had a car that was an amphibious car.
Yeah, I remember that.
And there was one in St. Louis. Do you remember when the River De Pere fiasco?
When it flooded, you mean?
When it flooded, and the guy drove down into River De Pere, took it downstream and got it back out, and they thought somebody reported the car going into the river.
I never heard that.
They were down there searching and dragging the repair. They had divers down there and everything.
Oh, boy. Did he get in trouble? Did they find out who it was?
I never heard. And he got out down by Lime or Broadway.
Oh, okay.
This was back in early 60s.
Hear about the guy the other day ordering these kids into the trunk of a car. Slams the trunk, gets in the car, drives away. Woman reports them. They get the surveillance camera from the post office. The description of the guy, put it out, Amber Alerts everywhere. A few hours later, the guy calls up laughing and goes, yeah, that was me, and he just bought the car, had his kids with him. Well, while he's getting some stuff out of the trunk for the post office, the kids popped open the back seat and climbed through the trunk and got out. He's like, get back in there. Set the hood. And
somebody saw it.
Yeah. Someone saw it, and, you know, he drives off, eats home and stuff, cooking dinner, and hey, turn on the news, dude. And he's like, police? That was me.
It was a virtual. What's the other one? The location list. I kept bookmarked for a long time because I figured sooner or later I'm going to log this. It's if you get caught speeding on the way to geocache.
Oh, yeah.
You have to tell what cache you were headed for.
Yeah. And the number on the ticket?
Ticket.
Yeah. I mean, how dumb is that? Oh, I got a good story on that, man. I was going hunting one, going real slow. And I get to the last stop sign in town, going west. And then I'm going hunting early in the morning. Next thing I see the old lights coming up behind me. And I pull over, and I jumped out of the car with my license in my hand. Guy says, it's like, you know, 5 in the morning. Kind of a hurry? And I kind of, yes, sir. I says, I'm going deer hunting. He says, my God, he says, I don't know how fast you were going, he says, but I clocked you doing 70, but I know you're going a lot faster because I couldn't catch you. Oh, my God, all I could see was these humongous dollar signs, you know. He says, you got insurance? Yes, sir. Give me my card. He says, go ahead and sit back in your truck, you know, and I sat down, and it seemed like it took forever.
Yeah, I don't know what they do, but
finally he comes back, and he hands me my license, my insurance back, and says, better slow down. Didn't give me a ticket, no warning, know nothing. I could
wow.
You knew you were armed.
He could have said 85, and I would have argued with him. I was going hunting. I'm in a hurry.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
It's the end of the day, and we're all sitting around the picnic tables near the learning center just talking about this and that. A man and his son drive up asking for geocachers. It turns out that he was in the park doing some geocaching, saw the geocaching 101 sign, and stopped by to see what was up.
We had a class this morning. That's why the sign is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good.
How you guys?
What's your name?
Craig Thrasher.
Are you catching?
I don't have a handle yet.
You don't?
Oh, it just started? Yeah, well, off and on. We've gone out in Colorado a couple times.
Okay.
So it's a good way to get him out into the woods. We just live right over on Melrose.
Well, there's a bunch of them in here.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to find some one that aren't too hard for him to get to because, you know, he doesn't want to come back next time.
No, yeah.
From Colorado originally and just moved here?
No, but when I go out there and go mountain biking a lot. And, so after we do like a morning ride, mm-hmm. spend the afternoon, we'll go geocaching.
Oh, okay.
We did a few of them in Vail a couple weeks ago.
Cool. Well, there's a lot over in West Tyson. I guess you get over there a lot, don't you?
I'm in there riding my bike, but I haven't geocached in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a non-traditional micro.
Okay.
Very cleverly hidden to it. Just put the GPS down because he won't be able to use it.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you bring a flashlight?
You don't
need to. You won't be here that long. Yeah. You won't be here that long, no? You
want to
bet on it?
This concludes the Slaga Podcast. For more information about the Slaga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.
I'm looking for a park, I'm looking for some trails, because that's just what I do.
Right.
I love it. And so I came here, I'm going to go back and...
Yeah.
I'm either going to walk somewhere, I'm going to find out what these people are doing.
Well, you caught us in our prime.
Yeah, I like, you know, there's some energy here, you know, and,
sure.
and interaction, and it's social, and
very social.
It's cool. I like it.
I'm recording a podcast of the geocaching stuff, and I'm recording right now.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I get some of your... comments, opinions.
Yeah. I live in Bloomington, Indiana, and I hike almost everywhere I go. I'm going to get out walking, hiking, doing something, because I just enjoy doing it. I came to Greenfelder here and saw you guys, and I'm going, well, first of all, I tell you, I had this meeting, I'm going, oh, strange. And then I saw this name, geocache. I never heard of that before.
Right.
But then I'm a curious sort, so I just stuck my
nose in. Uh-huh.
And you guys were very friendly.
It's a fun game. We enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't take it too seriously, although there are a few who do.
Yeah, there would be. Yeah.
You know, some groups around the country organize in order to help with a relationship with state parks, but I think our group, SLAGA, St. Louis Area Geocachers Association, formed because they had a ad hoc picnic, and people said, this is fun, let's keep doing this.
Right.
Yeah,
so we're
right.
really a social club.
And you're good friends. And so, you know, you've made, and your friends that are like-minded, you have a common interest.
Even though we come from such diverse backgrounds.
Sure. Making their world something thing.
Exactly.
Everything from students to, I got a multimillionaire stockbroker that's in our hiking club and developing some skills here, developing some interests and
right.
meeting friends and, oh, geez, you know, that's what life's about. You don't have to necessarily drive yourself to get one more.
Right. So, and yeah, there's some people who wait for that next cache to come out and they're, like, Jim.
I mentioned Jim. Jim's geocaching name is Strider. Strider is one of those people who likes to be first to find. So when a new cache comes out, you're pretty sure Jim's going to be there very quickly.
Actually, what Jim has actually explained to me is the whole point of going out to find first to find is because you have a really good chance of running into other geocachers.
Okay.
That's the real reason why he likes first to find.
I gotcha.
He ends up meeting... up with Rich or Didge or,
yeah.
or any of these guys, to be the first to find, although that's always good, but it's the social aspect.
Right.
As much as, you know, if not more than anything else.
Yeah. Welcoming to new people, that's a nice aspect.
Right. We it's a family-oriented,
yeah,
it's a healthy thing to do. And
yeah, you're not drinking yourself silly.
On a multi, would they give you some visual? Is it okay on the
first part of the multi, you're looking for something?
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, they're vectoring
you. On the clues, there's a... there's a part of the cache page that's scrolled, or it's ciphered, where that you can decrypt. You can just click on it to decrypt it. They do that so that you don't immediately see them, and you can't read them. Some people don't like using the clues. They want to be able to just go out there and see if they can find it without help. And the clues are sometimes giveaways. And so on multi-caches, they'll say for waypoint 1, they'll say rock, waypoint 2, tree, you know, to give you a little information about where it might be hidden or something like that, but not, you know, not enough to really give it away most of the time.
So you get into puzzle caches where you got to think about it and do some math ahead of time even before you leave the house.
Yeah, and like Mike Brawny Bear just put one out that used Egyptian hieroglyphs.
Oh, that's
right. And you had to go find a hieroglyph page and then decipher the hieroglyphs into English.
Yeah.
And then it used the Egyptian way of using fractions. And it's basically the Eye of Horus, and it's how much of the Eye of Horus is laid out on that hieroglyph. It tells you the fractions, and then you had to take those fractions, add them together, and get the decimal equivalent of that fraction, which would give you your last three, you know. So people come up with all kinds of funny things.
That is so crazy. G-O-C-A-C-H-I-N-G?
Yeah.
Okay, without the E. Cash. Without the E.
G-E-O-C-A-C-H-I-N-G.
Yeah, okay, geocaching.
Yep, .com. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Sure.
Or GEOSTL, which is our local one.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's
which is in the process of being changed.
I think I better run.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Nice having you along.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. I'll see you online.
You'll hear some of yourself on the podcast.
Oh. Okay.
Sure.
Yep. Okay.
Konopacki is my last name. That part, and then my first initial, my first name, and middle initial, and my middle name. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but
you know, more sense than I thought.
That's what I started with, and I thought, oh, I should have come up with another one, but I've already logged like hundreds of these things. And
yeah,
I,
you can change your caching name without losing your stats.
Unfortunately, I signed my logs Konopap W.
Right.
So.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all that.
That's true.
Would make sense.
Yeah.
You don't need a GPS. I tell you right where it is. There's two foul ball poles, and the idea is, and there's a cache in each one. The idea is to pick the right one. It's a psychological.
Okay. It's in one or the other, right?
It's actually a cache in both of them.
Oh.
But if you go to the one, it tells you this is the wrong one.
Okay.
There are hints on the cache that tells you you're supposed to pick the right one.
You have to.
Which is the right one? And I've been keeping track.
Do you have to fess up if you found the wrong one?
I asked people to.
Okay.
And so far I've got like 19 yes, they got the right one, and 16 no, they got the wrong one first.
I wonder how many of the 19 lied.
That's what I want.
Maybe just a couple, not a whole lot.
The best one I liked was a family of man and wife and two daughters, a teenage daughter, and the one looked like she was 6 or 7. They put photos in there. Mom, the dad, and the older daughter picked the wrong pole. And the little girl got the right. And they got photos by the Ohlendorf sign. Mom and dad are like this, and the little girl's like this.
Oh, okay.
I loved it.
Huh.
But yeah, you don't need a GPS to do that. Figuring out a container to go inside those poles.
Oh, okay.
Because a 35mm film canister will not fit.
Too big?
It's too big. And I finally ended up over at Michael's crafts place. And they've got these tubes of glitter for a buck. And it's got a screw cap type cap on it with a hook that I could hook a little cable to and drop them down inside the pole on the cable. Well, I bought one of the tubes of glitter, emptied it all out, took it home, put paper in it, and put it under the kitchen sink, you know, in the water.
Oh, to test it out.
And I waited for 15 minutes or so and pulled it out and dried the bone. I said, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to work. And then I had it in there for maybe a week. And some guy emailed, he says, I know I had the cap on tight, and I put it back in the pole, and I heard it go, ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
He says, it's at the bottom of the pole, it's fine. I went out the next day and bought another one.
Supposedly that wasn't far from where the kid got stung by yellow jackets and had to be taken to the hospital.
I know where the kid got stung.
During the summer picnic of 2005, there was a cache located not too far from where somebody who was not a geocacher was stung many times by yellow jackets, and this is what we were talking about.
At the end of that parking lot, there was a trail, and he was just in that trail, 50 feet,
okay.
And he got nailed.
And I never saw any of that yellow tape, supposedly, that the police put up.
You had to be up by the back of that center.
Okay. I never heard, you know, what happened to him or not, but people saying it was pretty serious.
Yeah. Well, he, from what I heard, he got hit like 12, 15 times. And he was swelling up.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for coming by. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
I did.
Good.
Years ago, they had a car that was an amphibious car.
Yeah, I remember that.
And there was one in St. Louis. Do you remember when the River De Pere fiasco?
Uh-huh. When it flooded, you mean?
When it flooded, and the guy drove down into River De Pere. Took it downstream and got it back out, and they thought somebody reported the car going into the river.
I never heard that.
They were down there searching and dragging the repair. They had divers down there and everything.
Oh, boy. Did he get in trouble? Did they find out who it was?
I never heard. And he got out down by Lime or Broadway.
Oh, okay.
This was all back in early 60s.
You heard about the guy the other day ordering these kids into the trunk of a car. Slams the trunk, gets in the car, drives away. Woman reports them. They get the surveillance camera from the post office, get a description of the guy, put it out, Amber Alerts everywhere. A few hours later, the guy calls up laughing and goes, yeah, that was me. And he just bought the car, had his kids with him. But while he's getting some stuff out of the trunk for the post office, the kids popped open the back seat and climbed through the trunk and got out. He's like, get back in there.
No.
Shut the hood.
And somebody saw it.
Yeah. Someone saw it, and, you know, he drives off, eats home and stuff, cooking dinner, and hey, turn on the news, dude. But he's like, police? That was me. And
there was a virtual. What's the other one? The location list. I kept bookmarked for a long time because I figured sooner or later I'm going to log this. It's if you get caught speeding on the way to geocache.
Oh, yeah.
You have to tell what cache you were headed for.
Yeah.
And the number on the ticket.
Yeah. I mean, how dumb is that? Oh, I got a good story on that, man. I was going hunting one going real slow. And I get to the last stop sign in town going west. And then I'm gone. Going hunting early in the morning. Next thing I see the old lights coming up behind me. And I pull over and I jumped out of the car with my license in my hand. Guy says, it's like, you know, 5 in the morning. Yeah. Kind of a hurry? And I kind of, yes, sir. I says, I'm going deer hunting. He says, my God, he says, I don't know how fast you were going, he says, but I clocked you doing 70, but I know you're going a lot faster because I couldn't catch you. Oh, my God, all I could see was these humongous dollar signs, you know.
Uh-huh.
He says, you got insurance? Yes, sir, give me my card. He says, go ahead and sit back in your truck, you know, and I sat down, and it seemed like it took forever.
Yeah, I don't know what they do, but
finally he comes back, and he hands me my license, my insurance back, he says, better slow down. Didn't give me a ticket, no warning, no nothing. I could have
Wow.
He knew you were armed.
He could have said 85, and I would have argued with him. I was going hunting. I'm in a hurry.
Yeah.
We're geocaching right now.
Okay.
It's the end of the day, and we're all sitting around the picnic tables near the learning center just talking about this and that. A man and his son drive up asking for geocachers. It turns out that he was in the park doing some geocaching, saw the Geocaching 101 sign, and stopped by to see what was up.
Did you guys have any special ones we should go after?
We had a class this morning. That's why the sign is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good.
How
are you guys?
What's your name?
Craig Thrasher.
Are you caching?
Oh, I don't have a handle yet.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, it just started?
Yeah, well, off and on. We've gone out in Colorado a couple times.
Okay.
So it's a good way to get him out into the woods. We just live right over on Melrose.
Well, there's a bunch of them in here.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to find some one that aren't too hard for him to get to because, you know, he doesn't want to come back next time.
Oh, yeah.
From Colorado originally and just moved here?
No, but when I go out there and go mountain biking a lot. And, so after we do like a morning ride, spend the afternoon, we'll go geocaching.
Oh, okay.
We did a few of them in Vail a couple weeks ago.
Cool. Well, there's a lot over in West Tyson. I guess you get over there a lot, don't you?
I'm in there riding my bike, but I haven't geocached in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a non-traditional micro.
Okay.
Very cleverly hidden to it. Just put the GPS down because you won't be able to use it.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you bring a flashlight?
You don't need to.
You won't be here that long, no? You want to bet on it?
Real quick.
This concludes the Slaga Podcast. For more information about the Slaga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.